Welcome to the Laverne Cox Show, a production of Shondaland Audio in partnership with iHeartRadio.
Honey, is it on? Is it on, honey? Is this Miss Recording? What's up, YouTube land, Twitter land, Instagram land, Snapchat, Crown the Scruff, BGC, Jack, Facebook, Periscope, and last but not least, every single one of my bitches, Christian Mingle, and the lands all across the land. This is your girl, T.S. Madison, and I'm coming to you loud, live, and always, and forever, in color, from the marvelous chateau.
I feel like my day isn't complete if I have not heard you say that.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Laverne Cox Show. There's something about a really good catchphrase, and today's guest has so many of them. I am so excited. I'm going to be speaking with T.S. Madison, a woman who has inspired me, who has cracked me up for years, and I just think is a genius of personal branding and just a superstar. T.S. Madison is an openly transgender entertainer, social media personality, entrepreneur, and LGBTQ+ activist. T.S. Madison has worked her ass off for decades to create her own platform. She became a YouTube sensation as the co-host of the Queen's Supreme Court, and now is the star of the new WE TV show, The T.S. Madison Experience. Please enjoy my conversation with T.S. Madison. Hello, T.S. Madison, and welcome to the podcast. How are you feeling today, girl?
Laverne Cox, honey, the inventor of all the things. I am sitting here with you, girl. It is time. It is so overdue.
It's so overdue. We should let the people know I'm recording this on March 5th, the day after the premiere of the T.S. Madison Experience on WE TV.
Yes.
And how do you feel about the first episode? How do you feel? This is so a long time coming.
Well, today, I'm really... like a producer, Laverne, you know, the first time when you produce your show, like you like, what are the numbers and what are they saying and what's the feedback and how do the people like it? God, I'm doing all this press. It's a lot. You know, I don't know how you've done it for so many years because we've all watched the Laverne Cox Experience.
Can I tell you, Maddie, I've been perpetually exhausted for like 8 years.
Yes.
But I'm saying no to more things so that I can have a little bit more time to myself. You have to find your time to recharge. You have to find your time to like, right now isn't that time. Ride the wave now.
No, this is definitely not the time. And I'm going to do the best that I can to keep my energy high. And I want to say this, though. Uh-huh. I want to say thank you for unscrewing the door and leaving it open. And one thing that Funky Dineva says all the time is that when we occupy spaces as LGBT+ people, we can't go in there and F up the thing, honey. You have to make sure that you do it and leave the door open for other people to come behind you. And we have to go in there with grace and dignity and all of this stuff. And I'm going to share a little bit. Mm-hmm. Girl, why y'all got the glad police on me?
I didn't know the glad police was on you, girl. What was going on? What's the tea?
No, they're good. No, they're really good. Like, no, I'm making a joke out of it, but it's really good that they want to PR train you and stuff like that to make sure. Mm-hmm. Because, Laverne, listen, it's no secret, honey. I'm loud, laughing, and color, and you know I don't give a damn sometimes. But I have found out that in this process right now and going on this place that the responsibility that you have as a torchbearer, it can be a little bit overwhelming a little bit, you know, because like you have to be very careful about stuff that you say because, you know, you don't just represent yourself anymore. Mm-hmm. You represent a plethora of people. Not only LGBT+ people, Black people, you know?
Women.
Mm-hmm.
Can I tell you that pressure? I mean, for me, it really hit in 2014. It really hit in 2014 when after the Katie Couric interview, after Time Magazine cover. But I think we're in a new space now. I don't want to say we have to let that go because I think we have to be responsible for our community. But I think now with you, and there's so many trans people out there now on TV, right? So you don't have to represent the whole community. You can represent you.
Yes.
And you're hilarious. You know, I've been watching you for years, girl. So I'm...
I know.
And I still watch you. And I can sit and watch T.S. Madison in the car, ordering, going to like McDonald's or wherever, ordering food. I love, it's such a trans thing that like, so when you're talking, you know, you're talking in the car and all of a sudden you're on the intercom. Hi, can I please order a, you know, two piece with, it's just, that never gets old either. There's just so many things.
They clock that voice, honey, in that drive through, honey. You may get some floor on your hamburger bun, girl. Your hamburger bun may start tasting like, you're like, yo, why does this shit taste like the floor? What did they do to my hamburger?
There's just so many nuances. Like, it is the most entertaining thing ever. T.S. Madison After Dark is my favorite.
Yes.
Shout out to Lee Tanya.
Yes, Lee Tanya, yeah.
Girl, the stories, I live for the stories of the trade and the clients, and I live for all of it. We need this.
Yeah.
We've needed it for a very long time. And I think the beautiful thing is that now the world is ready.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I said this to Billy Porter, we were talking a few weeks ago, and I said, it's so beautiful that you're still alive and that you survived because the world has caught up to you.
Yes.
And Madison, the world has caught up to you.
Yes.
We don't have to be in this respectability politics anymore. And that's really why I wanted to have this conversation today.
And for me, it was, you have to look at it too, Laverne. My entrance into mainstream visibility, because you know I've been an underground girl for a long time, but my interest into that was just me selling a product when I was doing the little vines. It was just me selling the product at the time in the business that I was in.
We should clarify for the audience that okay. I don't think you'll mind me saying it, but Maddie has a history in sex work, mm-hmm. and she started her own porn business and mm-hmm. and turned it out.
And like you were peaking at that time too, like boom, and they were tearing me up like, oh, honey, you are trash and Laverne is queen and you're this and the other. And I'm like, I'm not trying to be like we're all different. Like, why can I not celebrate my sister who's paving the way for someday I may occupy that space? I don't know. Why would y'all do that? And the gag is Laverne loves the T.S. The T.S. loves Laverne. And she knows that we are polar opposites, but we are the same. So,
amen.
We got it.
That's the piece. It's like when I was watching the show last night, I was like, yes, Maddie and I on the surface may seem completely different, but I'm from Alabama. I have a religious mother. I grew up in the church. I'm a Black trans woman. There's so many things that we have in common. It's very different paths. And like, but for the grace of God, I may have been having to do what you were doing on, you know, on the stroll in Miami and in Atlanta, mm-hmm. but it's all good.
Yeah.
It's all good. And what I love about your history and sex work is that you're open and honest about it. You tell the truth about it. Like, their stories are legendary. And I'm so happy that you survived it. But then I think that it's so important that you were like, I need to be the boss. I need to be the one producing these videos. I need to be the one distributing them because that's where the money is. Can you talk to us about when it clicked for you that you were like, okay, I need to be the boss of this and not be, you know, just used by these other people who are really making the real money?
When I actually sat back and I watched the way that, can I be candid, Laverne?
Girl, I want you here to be fully you.
Oh, okay.
And do you. Yes, girl, relax and do you.
Now, y'all heard. She gave me permission, okay? All right. Listen, when I saw all those white companies pimping out, and I do feel, I don't want to say pimping out heavy because, you know, we go in knowing that we need to start somewhere, but I'm saying pimping out like, girl, we work for these people. Like, our Black skin is so expensive. It is expensive. Our Black skin is powerful. Our Black skin is like the money maker. And you get us and you give us quarters, pennies, nickels on the dollar to bear our nude bodies, to perform in video. You own all the rights. You own this stuff. And then you market the white girl as better than us. And this is no shade to my white sisters, but you market the white girl better than us. this right here, this is God. And, you know, those are those girls. And I know you may not, this is the niche. If you like this, go down. If you want to go down this dark place over here, you're going to like these girls too. But this is what they were buying over here, the black girls. And you were using this money to make the white girls look sickening.
Mm.
No, ma'am.
Mm.
Yeah. And that's why I'm so passionate about that, because I need them to understand that I walked into a white world and told them, no. Madison, would you come do this scene? You know, would you come do this, or would you film this? Would you? No. And if I do, this is what I want. I want,
mm-hmm.
I want money on the front end. I want money on the back end. I want producer rights. I want distribution rights. I want to be able to have residual income from this stuff. Should I pass away right now, my mother can have money. My brothers can have money, whatever. And it was very much like, how does she know this? How does she know?
Mm.
I was introduced to Phil. His name is Phil. He was the owner of Evasive Angles. And he
Evasive
is,
Angles, what a title.
He's a cis white man. He had never produced trans films. He said, I have been watching mm-hmm. you here in Atlanta. Like, your videos outsell mine. And mine are high produced.
Mm-hmm.
I said, well, I understand my audience, for one. And for two, what you produce don't look like me.
Mm.
And what you have to understand is, I know you're coming down here to sell to an urban market. I got that on lock, baby. I done worked the beat. I done been on the chat line. I done dealt with the trade. I know what they like. I know what men who are attracted to plus size black women, what they're going to like on a plus size black trans woman. It felt home to a lot of black men when I was, you know, making those films, because that's Keisha. That's Kanika. That's Tasha. You know, that I went to school with her.
So really understanding what I'm hearing is that a person who learned the market the hard way
mm-hmm.
and then was like, okay, this is the market. I'm going to produce a product for that market. It's capitalism.
Mm-hmm.
And what I just love about it is that you have always been a businesswoman.
Mm-hmm.
And when I became aware of you was when your Vine went viral. New weave, 22 inches, yes. And literally a girlfriend of mine showed it. We were having a group text and a girlfriend of mine was like, what's going on? And I looked you up, and then there were videos, a bunch of videos, and I found out who you were. When that Vine went viral, was that intentional? And then how were you able to capitalize on that Vine going viral? Like, I mean, because I know you made money from it.
No, Laverne, it actually was not intentional. I stumbled across a social site where I saw people putting up little 6-second videos. And I initially started out funny.
New Eve is hilarious. It's hilarious, girl. Yes.
I remember the first Vine that I ever put up, it was when Beyonce was pregnant. And I remember me putting this thing on my stomach and me sitting down and like reenacting when she sat down on a show she was doing. And I just, that was one Vine that I put up. Girl, it ain't really getting no traction. It was a little people, you know, laughing and joking at it. But I started scrolling through Vine.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, wait a minute. They have After Dark. What is this? So I clicked the hashtag and I'm looking at the hashtag. I was like, oh, wait, are they nude on here? Oh, okay. I'm typing away, researching like how many clicks does this get and how is this marketable? Oh, here we go. Let me promote my website. So that's all it was for me. So I did it. Had no idea what was going to happen. And new wave, 22 inches. Yes. Boom. Just boom. It just, Laverne, it was boom.
Huge.
And so some boys from New Orleans, some I don't want to call them trade, but honey, they got those tendencies. But some boys from New Orleans stumbled across it and reposted it and typed in the caption, this right here, how does this woman have a dick?
How's that for a little truth? After a tiny break, we've got more for you. We are back, picking up where we left off.
That's the funniest thing I've ever heard.
That's what it was. It's just that, how does this woman have a dick? And I promise you, it was them reposting that. Let me title it right. How does this fat woman have a dick?
Oh my God.
It was insane. It was like crazy. I woke up the next morning and it was like all this stuff was everywhere, like everywhere. So the boy who reposted it, he had came up with all of these, I think that they may translate to transphobic slurs, but he came up with this. He called me a shigga.
Oh my God. I've never heard that. I thought I heard all of them. Jesus.
Yeah, okay. Shigga. And so he went on this tirade, like wearing me out. But the more he wore me out, the more it started to spread. So I started doing little videos to him, like, you know, taunting him.
Uh-huh.
And the more I taunted him with the videos, the more they were going viral, like of me naked and all this stuff or whatever. Girl.
And the more people were going to your site.
Your site, yes. And then I started, my site increased. And then I'm going to tell you what really made me start marketing. The moment that they took one of the little pieces and put it on Tosh.0, I remember it being my birthday, October 22nd, 2014. I was in the bed sleeping and 10 o'clock Tosh came on and it said, "All right, everybody, let us introduce you to your dick of the week." So I'm sitting here and I'm like, wait a minute. And it's me. And the audience went crazy. And it's like, after that, girl, I said, Madison, you got to make you some t-shirts.
What were the t-shirts? What did the t-shirts say?
She got a dick.
Oh, my God.
Yes. She got a dick. And it was all because I was arguing with this boy. He was like, "I don't know what you are. What are you? Are you a woman?"
Oh my God.
And I really think this was a big, big introduction to people. It might have been bad, could have been bad, to people who had never seen a trans person. Who, if I was just doing regular Vines, he possibly would have thought that, you know, I was just a cis black woman. But what drove him insane was him seeing it, and this is like, so confused by it.
Probably confused because he was a little, if he's spending that much energy, he was probably a little turned on, excited.
Girl, that's why I said trade tendencies. If I ever get opportunity to run into him anywhere, he probably won't talk to me, but I would say, you know, I want to thank you.
Amen.
You're messy and you're confused and, you know, it caused me to be in the place that I'm in now. He helped that. Like, this boy was on a rampage doing these videos about me.
What I will say to you, though, Maddie, is that not every trans person could take that opportunity and then let it lead to the next thing in terms of monetary gain, in terms of raising your profile. And so I would love for people out there listening is to be like, okay, what can I do? How can I, like Maddie, take a moment and really make it into something as an entrepreneur and to better my life?
Well, I think it's because the hustle in me, Laverne, I think it was because I did work the street and stuff like that. Whatever I needed to do to make it work for me to survive, you know, you have to turn lemons into lemonade, you know, and it's like nothing is guaranteed. The streets aren't guaranteed. Well, the tricks, they're not guaranteed. You know, none of this stuff is guaranteed. So you got to be trying to figure out how am I going to turn the next dollar without killing anybody. Without robbing anybody. Because listen, my mother taught me whatever you put out, you will receive back. And I've always been afraid to do anything malicious to a person. Even when I'm angry and I want to get back, I always think and hear her saying, boo, you know, God gonna give you what you give others. You know, so it always keeps me away from doing anything malicious. But girl, anytime anything malicious comes to me, I'm going to monetize off of it, girl. So if a person is out there reading me for filth, I'm going to make a t-shirt. I'm gonna make a coffee mug. I'm gonna make some eyelashes. I'm gonna make a pencil. That's, you know, I'm gonna do this stuff because you gotta turn all your pain into profit.
Years ago, you had magnets, the step your pussy up magnets, the checklist.
I got them.
I literally bought 4 or 5 to support you, but then I also gave them to the girl, my girlfriend. What was the checklist? Step your pussy up. What is it? Own a business. What was it?
Let me tell you, Laverne, that was a vine. That was a vine from me reading that boy.
Oh. Yes. There it is. I didn't know the origin story of Step Your Pussy Up.
I was reading him. I was like, honey, you talk about me every day. What, can't you find something else to do? Be yourself, bitch. Step your pussy up, honey. Get a job. Own a business, bitch. Suck a dick. And So, you know, that day when I had that blonde hair on, I was over it, girl.
Can I tell you, your personal brand and the branding and the catchphrases are legendary. I mean, is it on? Can you just give it a listen?
Well, is it on started? I'm going to tell you how that started.
Yes.
Girl, you're going to holler. So just get ready to holler.
Mm-hmm.
And you're going to say, girl, do you take everything that you do and make money? Yes. I was trying to figure out on YouTube, because, you know, people were making them videos and shit about me. And on YouTube, I had my girlfriend, Diamond Styles. I don't know if you know Diamond Styles.
I know Diamond. Yes.
I love Diamond Styles.
Brilliant.
And she was doing these interviews with trans people. And a trans girl had made a video. Well, she interviewed her and she said something about me. And I was like, I'm finna cuss this bitch out. You know? And so I was like, how do you do this? I got my computer and I started and I didn't know if it was recorded. So I was like, I said, is it on? Is it on, honey? Is this bitch recording? Like, the aggression. I was so eager to try to get the thing on so I could cuss her out.
So note to self, when Maddie wants to cuss somebody out, this is an opportunity for a new catchphrase and a new monetary moment. Is it on? Is it on? Is this bitch recording? Hello, YouTube, Snapchat. What is? Give us the whole thing.
Honey, is this bitch recording? And then I was like, honey, is it on? Is it on, honey? Is this bitch recording? What's up, YouTube land, Twitter land, Instagram land, Snapchat, Grind the Scruff, BGC, Jack, Facebook, Periscope, and last but not least, every single one of my bitches, Christian Mingle, and the lands all across the land. This is your girl, T.S. Madison, and I'm coming to you loud, live, and always, and forever, in color, from the marvelous chateau. Girl, I
yes.
used to...
That never gets old. Maddie, can I tell you, I've been watching your videos for years. You've been saying that for you. It never gets old. I feel like my day isn't complete if I have not heard you say that. And then the loud, live, and in color section, I live for the new show. We should probably talk a little bit about your Wii show. But I love that it's still you, that they didn't, because I was like, oh, we don't need to sanitize Maddie. Mm-hmm. We just need to let Maddie just be Maddie, because she's enough.
Mm-hmm.
And I saw the show, and it's you. And
yeah.
I felt the team. And Miss Mary is just, and obviously we've gotten to know Miss Mary through your own YouTube and Facebook stuff, but Miss Mary was just so transcendent last night. She reminds me a little bit of my mother, a little bit. She was just so, it was so beautiful. I cried. I laughed. It was so good. It was really, really good. I was thinking this is this dysfunctional family that like most of us have mm-hmm. that is, that you read each other and you might fight, but it's all in love. Yes. And you feel the love.
Yes.
And I think that's why people love you, is because we feel your heart and we felt it in the show. And that it warms my heart.
I honestly told the network, I was like, listen, if you police me too hard, the show will flop. I know when and where to turn up. I ain't that crazy. But but you gotta let me do me, you know? And it's World of Wonder that's producing the show. And I felt very comfortable with World of Wonder producing the show.
Well, you've been working with World of Wonder for years. You did a series in the car with them.
Let me pick you up.
Yes, let me pick you
mm-hmm,
up.
Mm-hmm. And it was important for me to explain to them, listen, I'm coming to you with this project that I have right now. I need it to be me. I don't need to work for you guys. I need us to work together. And I, you know, that's how I became executive producer of it. And when I watched it last night, I was like, wow. I felt that these people have my back. And I felt, you know, reality TV can be messy, Laverne. You know, we've been in this
a lot. Absolutely.
But I felt that that was not the angle that they wanted to go. They don't want to go messy. Like, they have other shows that are messy.
It's a new day. It's a new day. And I also understand that you fought to have Black people on your crew and LGBTQ plus people on your crew. And it makes a difference who's making the show. It makes a difference who is the director, who's the showrunner, who's writing, if there's writing, who's editing. All those things make a difference in terms of how we're represented.
Yes.
And it felt like you. It felt like you, and it felt authentic.
It is. It is me, Laverne. It is. It's me. It's my family, you know, my mother. Listen, I'm not going to try to clean up her words. If she want to say strew, then let her say damn strew.
Streaming, which is, she doesn't.
If she want an anal Fitz, annual Fitzgerald, then that's what it is.
Oh, she's so adorable, though. She's so adorable. And it's just so beautiful. And I think, too, the love, the unconditional love that Miss Mary has for you, I've always, I mean, for years, my brother and I, my brother loves you as well. And we've talked about it for years, just the relationship that you guys have that is so, it's just real. And I think what people also need to know is that there's a lot of Miss Marys out there. My mother never, ever, I mean, growing up was hard. And I've talked to her about it. I've talked publicly. Growing up was hard. But once I moved away and I was in New York and I started my transition, she never said, I don't want to see you. She never said, I'm going to disown you. She was concerned about my health and well-being. She didn't understand, you know, of course, but she never said, I'm going to disown you and I don't want to be in your life. And I know that happens to a lot of people, but there are a lot of Black mothers out there who have loved their LGBTQ children. There are so many out there who are loving their children.
Can I be honest with you? I want to be honest with you, Laverne.
Please.
For me, which I think we're going to dig into it more in the season, you'll see, because I learned a lot about myself filming this show. I listened to her during the filming of this. Listen. And it wasn't the fact that she was in the church and saved and stuff like that. It was the fact that I heard everything around, like everybody else had done been to church, me going to church and, you know, gays going to hell and don't be like this. You know what they do in the South, all that. And if you become one of them.
I'm from Mobile, Alabama. Mm,
yes. If you, oh girl, the bill they pass is awful.
I know.
And they say, if you turn out to be that, you definitely gonna bust hell wide open. So you hear this stuff and then you hear your mother love God so much. And you like, oh my God, like in my heart, like, I don't want to embarrass my family. So you leave.
Yeah, I left.
You leave. You leave. And it's so important that you go to find yourself. However, when I hear her talk now, I understand it at an older age now. I hear her talk and she says, you didn't give me a chance to accept you. You didn't give me a chance to grow with you. You didn't give me a chance. And I was like, because I heard everything around. And this is why we have to make sure that the conversation that we're having around young people aren't homophobic and aren't transphobic, because you don't know. This is a straight world. We live in this straight world.
There were so many homophobic things I heard from my mother's lips when I was growing up. A church-going woman, Christian woman, I heard. And so, of course, I thought that there was not going to be a space for me to be myself. It was really clear. And I was a bully kid who everyone was calling the F word and the sissy and all these things.
Yeah, me too.
And I was taken to therapy in third grade, you know, to like fix me and make me more masculine. So all those things. So, of course, I didn't think that she would accept me. So I knew I needed to get out of Mobile, Alabama as soon as possible so I could be myself. And that's what I did.
You had to leave to find yourself.
Yeah.
But what we left at home were parents that we didn't give the opportunity to do that. And I think that every time my mother was sitting here watching the show playback, she was just crying. Like, this is so real for her. And I feel like that if I can go back and do some of this again, I definitely would tell my younger self, you know, break it down for, you know, get mad at her, walk out and come back in and be like, mama, this is what's going on. And maybe I wouldn't have been introduced to this dark world that I was introduced to. Maybe I wouldn't have been involved in the streets or maybe I wouldn't have, you know, know the street hustle and know the trade and know all the dark stuff. And maybe a lot of people wouldn't be subjected to, because I'm speaking for me, a lot of trans people wouldn't be subjected to HIV, AIDS, and diseases. And
what I know is the truth, though, is that without a test, there's no testimony.
Yes.
And your story is a story of so many other trans women out there, Black trans women who are hustling right now, who have hustled. And they need to see themselves too, and they need to see themselves. You know, there's other trans women who are up high profile who've talked about sex work, but not like you.
No,
the sex stories, the T.S. Madison After Dark is legendary. I live.
I love it too. And Laverne, you know why I love it? It's because we have to tell those sex stories, because this is what goes on. This is what happens in our lives, and some of those sex stories could definitely solve some of those trans murders that have happened.
Thank you. And I love the way you talk about this. You've talked very candidly in a way that, like, I've never fully been able to. That when men lie and say they didn't know. Often when almost every time a trans woman is murdered, it's like, well, you should tell them. And you've always been for years saying they already know.
Yes.
They just don't want you to know. And people want to be in denial that men are attracted to us and are having sex with us and doing
all the things
with us. People want to be in denial. You know, I was thinking about, like, men, how a lot of men who date us, date trans women, don't come forward. And I was like, most of the men who are having sex with us do see us as women, and it's not a big difference for them. And I think the denial, like, the, so many women, my man would never. I'm like, girl.
Like, girl, yeah, you would. And girl, listen. And so this is why when people be like, oh, Madison, all she talks about is sex. I'm like, it's important that I talk about these things, because there's this fiction going on that men don't love us or men aren't having sex. Yes, they are. They are loving us. They are having sex with us. They are paying for surgeries. They are investing in our, in the way we look. They invest in the way we live. Girl, you know one of my lines is, Laverne, I've been in the Marvelous Chateau all these years. Bitch, I ain't worked for nobody. Somebody husband paying for me.
Amen.
You know?
And this, in home ownership too, I love it. I love that I remember one video you talked about how you had to, like, work extra for, you didn't put any money down for the mortgage, and so you had to work extra for it.
Yeah.
And can you talk about the home ownership and why it was so important for you to own your own home?
Well, it's extremely important for me and for me to push that for home ownership or ownership of whether it's a house this big, a house bigger than this, or the apartment or whatever, because we are always deemed homeless. And we do suffer, you know, from homelessness in our community.
Absolutely.
However, when you have the opportunity to, bitch, do everything that the straight people can do, girl, go out there and buy you a house. When you got the money, if you're going to sell your coochie, go out there, save you up enough money, buy you a house so that, honey, when that coochie is old and retired, girl, you can get an equity loan on your house, honey, and start your business or something. Do something. It is important, because this is equity. We need to be a part of wealth, Laverne.
I love that vision. And it's like, for the people who are doing their OnlyFans right now or doing whatever, it's like, what are you saving and what are you building with that?
Gotta take a teensy break here, but I'll be fast. All right, let's get back to it.
I mean, some people do sex work for a very long time, and then sometimes you're less marketable as you get older. And so what's the plan?
Sister, some people that do anything and they're less marketable when they're older. What's the guy's name that's getting evicted from his mansion? I forget. He's the fashion guy.
Andre Leon Talley.
Yes, Andre.
That broke my heart. I love Andre so much.
I love him too. But girl, what were you doing with your coin? What are you doing with this stuff? Like, you are a gay man who is occupying spaces that a lot of us want to break into the fashion world. What are you doing with your coin?
40 years. I'm obsessed with Andre. So I read Andre's book, The Chiffon Trenches. And Andre got by on the kindness of Karl Lagerfeld and the kindness of the folk. I forget who owns the house and that he lives in. He got by on the kindness of so many people for so long that maybe he wasn't even making money, but he was just being gifted Chanel and gifted this because he was edited large for Vogue.
But girl, if you... It's a hustle. So if you're hustling, when you look at it, if somebody's donating you a house and they're donating you cars, they're donating you bags, and I'm not mad at him at all. But bitch, be wise in these situations. Girl, you are, no matter how high we go in this world, Laverne, you're trans, T.S. Madison, you're trans, Andre, you're a gay man. You know, they put limitations on it, even though they black.
We should say black gay man. And I think he thought that those relationships would sustain him. I read the story about the house. Apparently he was gifted the house and he made improvements on the house and he thought it was his. And he believed in the kindness of these white people. I think he believed in that. And the chickens have come home to roost. And so you cannot rely on the kindness of other folks. You have to make sure you've got your own. I think that's the lesson. And there are probably details that we don't know about the situation.
Right.
It's a cautionary tale. It's like, what's the retirement account? What's the home ownership? What's the plan so that we, going forward, we're not destitute? Because there's so many people. Bell Hooks, the feminist writer, she owns multiple homes. She was like, I don't want to be one of those black women writers who die penniless. And so we have to plan.
Yes. Laverne, listen, the streets have taught me so much.
Yeah.
Honey, the tricks stop coming. Mm-hmm. You still got light bill to pay, girl. You better put some money somewhere. So even though he was not in the sex industry, somebody was still gifting him for his goods. And the gifts stopped coming. You learned this early in hoeing 101, okay? Your dates don't last. Make the money last.
Yes. And I think the interest, so much of our culture is like we're pimping ourselves out in one way or another in consumer capitalism, right? So it's like there's so many different kinds of sex work, I think. I think, you know, people who want to demonize sex work, I think there are degrees of it. And so it's like, what are you going to do to make the most of whatever situation that you're in, you know, and hopefully keep your dignity and be kind to people.
That's
but
it.
Like, what are you going to do? And I love that you keep it real with all of that and tell the truth about it, because hopefully the young girls coming up and boys and non-binary people who are doing their business are thinking ahead and are thinking long term. They're thinking, how do I like make more money and capitalize, constantly capitalize and bring and make it, you know, make it bigger.
Yes, Laverne. And it's so important for WeTV and World of Wonder to give opportunities to girls like myself, because what it does now is it restructures the narrative that, you know, all we do is sex work. Okay, that was then. That was 20 years ago, 25 years ago. Now the girls that have done sex work, they're executive producers, you know, they own networks. They're building opportunities so that the narrative changes. You no longer have to be a sex worker. You can be a sex worker if you want to. But now we see the T.S. Madison, who was once that, go out into this world, follow her dreams, sex work, got on the internet, blogged about it, talked about it, capitalized off of it, moved forward, executive producer, television show, like all of this stuff. So it's just like, wait, I don't even have to do this no more.
And I think that the beautiful thing is that when we tell the stories about our lives, about the dark parts, if it's sex work or whatever, that this perspective changes when we are in control of how the narrative comes forward.
Yes.
And that is, you've been in utter and complete control of your narrative since I've known about you. And it sounds like for a very long time.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am.
And there's some people who, you know, love sex work and don't want to leave the business. But I think having a vision, I know trans women who've done sex work and now have master's degrees and have left that behind. You've clearly always had a plan for your life. And it is clear to me that you've had the vision for this show for a very long time. When all the stuff was going around with the first incarnation of the
Queen's Court,
the first Queen's Court. And as hilarious as you are, your testimony is so utterly and completely necessary for you to go from your internet, your Facebook lives, your YouTube shows to WeTV is an inspiration to everyone out there. Thank you for being you.
Yes. Mm. Laverne, thank you. Like, listen, this is I've always wanted to sit and have a candid conversation with you, because I was like, girl, as loud, laughing, and color as I am, I was getting the whip cracked on my back because I wasn't you.
And that breaks my heart. Other trans women have told me that another trans woman was fat shamed. No, people don't know what I eat. First of all, but a black trans woman was fat shamed by her manager. People who don't know me are saying that Laverne wouldn't do this or wouldn't do that. And to use it against another trans person has never been what I'm about. Never. And I've never pit myself against another trans person. I don't compare myself. I love and support my sisters and brothers and non-binary siblings. And that breaks my heart. Oh, but here we are. Here we are, girl.
Yeah, we are. You remember when Celia said, he beat me because I ain't you. in the Color Purple.
Of course I remember. Of course I do, girl. I live for the Color Purple, girl. We could go down a whole Color Purple rabbit hole.
So that's kind of what it feels like to lots of trans girls who are, you know, coming up, and then we don't have the same story. And I don't want that to be for me. Like, now that the door is left open from whatever I done did, don't compare the girls to me. Each girl has their own story. Every girl's story is important.
Right now we have MJ Rodriguez. Mm-hmm. We have Dominique Jackson. We have India Moore. We have Hunter Schafer over on HBO. We have, there's so many. We have Angelica Ross, who's everywhere and just turning it. I mean, and Alexander Gray, who's like, we have so many more of us out there now that we hopefully can let that go. And I think anyone out there, do not compare trans people to each other. Do not pit us against each other. We're not interested in that. Do not tell a trans person they need to be more like another trans person. That is fucked up. It's utterly fucked up. Do not do that anymore. I like to end the podcast with this question that comes from my therapy, actually, and it's a somatic therapy. And the question is, what else is true? And it's basically like, when things are hard and rough and I'm struggling, that I can focus on that, but I could also take my energy and focus on the things that are neutral and positive in my life. I could focus on what else is true. So T.S. Madison, today, the day after the premiere of your show, congratulations.
Thank you.
I'm so proud of you.
Thank you so much.
Today for you, Maddie, what else is true?
What is true is I've done things that they said that I would never be able to do. What is true is I'm not bound by the shackles of my past. What is true is I'm here now, and I am here by divine purpose. And what is true is I have impacted the world, and I'll have a legacy whether tomorrow is the last day. And I thank God for it. And I thank you for letting me be here on this podcast with you, girl, honey, chopping it up. So now I know that you will be a good fit on the Queen's Supreme Court, girl. Because we started.
I try to be good. Because I try to be good. I try not to, like, say too much.
We got to dig into. But now, being that we both will get in trouble, we know how to behave enough just to say enough.
But people don't want to see you behave, girl. They really want the mess. They really do. I love you so much. I'm so proud of you.
I love you too, Laverne.
So people can, while you can catch T.S. Madison on the T.S. Madison Experience on WeTV Thursday nights at 10 p.m.
Thursday nights.
Are you still doing this Queen Supreme Court on, or are you taking a break?
You gotta watch. We got a lot of production stuff going on. You gotta watch, Laverne. You know, you might be proud of your sister at the end of the
journey. I am already proud of my sister.
But a little bit more.
I'm already proud of my sister.
A little bit more. You just got to watch and see. But make sure you guys are following me on Instagram at The Real T.S. Madison. And make sure you're following me on YouTube, T.S. Madison Hinton. And just make sure you guys are watching the show. It's a good show. It's a breath of fresh air for reality television. It's not messy. Oh, it's a little shady. Because we got some shade coming down the line.
It's shady. There's reading. But it's fun. And it's hilarious. And it's really touching. Yes. It's really touching. Congratulations. It's a really good show.
Thank you. Thank you, Laverne. And congratulations on this mega podcast. And thank you so much for having me.
T.S. Madison Hinton. Oh my God. I love that woman so much. I've been a fan for a really long time. And when I heard her show was happening on We, I thought about how the world wants to pit, you know, trans people against each other, pit marginalized people against each other. And now that she has this platform, I suspected people might be making comparisons. And Maddie is Maddie and Laverne is Laverne. And there's nothing but love between us. And her stories, her humor, her testimony. She is a superstar. She's always been a superstar. And there are so many superstars out there in different communities who just have not had the platform yet to show it off. Madison built that platform for herself. She made it happen with a lot of determination and just star quality that can't be taught. I love T.S. Madison, and you can watch the T.S. Madison Experience Thursday nights on Wii. You must. Thank you for listening to The Laverne Cox Show. Please rate, review, subscribe, and share with everyone you know. You can find me on Instagram and Twitter at Laverne Cox and on Facebook at Laverne Cox for real. Until next time, stay in the love. The Laverne Cox Show is a production of Shondaland Audio in partnership with iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from Shondaland Audio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.